Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we continue to learning about the book of Colossians. I know afternoon class is not easy and today is hot. Yeah. And after some of you are fasting, some of you are having a big lunch, we ask the Lord to give us strength to hang on there so that we won't fall asleep during the class. So, remember this chat. I hope that you're working on this already, right? The supremacy of Christ. The whole theme of the book is Christ is above all. He's the best. He's the highest. He's the most powerful. He's the ultimate. He's everything. So it's so important for the people to know the supremacy of Christ. Because if you understand and know the supremacy of Christ, then you don't need other things. Even in front of other religions or other faith, you will not be confused. So, once again, why do we need to know and to study the supremacy of Christ? Now, there's one thing we have to understand. That we human beings, why do we need faith? Why do we need a religion? Who can tell me why? And of course, if we are human beings, we are almighty. We can do all things. We don't need God. We don't need a faith. I think that belief is possessed by some people. They think that by myself, I can do all things. But the problem and the reality is, we human beings are not unlimited. Rather, we are so limited. And because we are limited, that we need an external higher power, more superior than us, more mightier than us, to come into our life to help us. This is the fundamental basis of finding a religion, right? That's why we need God. We need to find a faith. But however, we know that we human beings, we are so limited. Just like now, even though you're young and strong, but after 10 days, 11 days of studying, wow, sometimes our physically body will feel tired. And look at us. Let's talk about the financial crisis recently for the past few years. Where did the financial crisis come from? Anyone can tell me? You're so familiar with the news. Who can tell me where the financial crisis of the whole world start? Anyone? Which street in the world? Wall Street, yes. So many people, only the smartest brain can survive the studies, not only university, but MBA, squeezing to get a job in one of those firms. The smartest brain in the whole world focus in Wall Street. And guess what happened in Wall Street? Of course, you know, it's history. It's people having the smartest brain, but causes the worst problem. Why? Because we human beings are so limited. We don't know the future. If you know the future, of course, this thing will not happen. They don't know the future, and they can't change the future. Plus, we have so much inferior character, the greed, the lust, the sin, which harm human's heart. So that's why we need external help to be in our life, to change us, to transform us. You cannot help yourself, but you need someone to help you. This is always true. And that's why people are looking and turning to God. Try to find religion. But you'll find out, nowadays, not that people don't believe in God. Actually, most people believe in some form of religion, of faith, of higher power. But the problem is, if you start seeking God, if you start seeking religion, you'll find out that you have so many choices out there. The market are so great. Just like you go to supermarkets to buy things. That was last time I go to supermarket, try to get a bottle of shampoo. And have a hard time to finding where is mine, the one I've been using. And there are hundreds all stacked up there. They all look similar to me. Only my wife can tell which one is my family has been using. Now, family is the same. I mean, the religion, markets, the philosophy, there's so many thinking. Because nowadays people is living in a material life. They are empty. So they try to turn to God. They try to find religion. But they will find out, if they want to find God, if they want to find religion, there are so many choices. I don't know whether you know some of these symbols, right? But they refer to Islam, Taoism, Hinduism, Christianity. Even other form of religions are so common. And nowadays, even in a Western society, I remember one time I was in Ghana, in West Africa. I met a guy from Northern Europe. I remember, if I remember correctly, he's from Sweden or something. At the time, I was doing missionary work. And in a village in Africa, it's not easy to find a white person, a Caucasian, especially from Europe. So I was talking to him and asking, I tell him that, oh, I'm a missionary, I'm a Christian from True Jesus Church. Where are you from? Which church do you go? He said, no, I'm no more going to church. Even though I was brought up as a Christian in Northern Europe. And I said, what do you believe now? He told me he believed in some kind of mystical, mystery Eastern religions. Very special one. I don't even remember the name. I said, why? Why your ancestor? You brought up in Christianity in Northern Europe. Why you go to this kind of religion? I said, oh, Christianity, it's not for me. We know something even better for them. Why people nowadays in the mainstream, in the so-called traditional Christian country, more and more young people leave the church, don't even go for services? Why? The membership has been declining because they fail to retain the young people. Yes, the older generation still go to church, but the young people no more. For the old people there, they go to church. But for the young people, maybe they think, oh, I go to Buddhism, or even Tibet Buddhism, which they think is more fashion and more better for them. Why do they think that? Because they are not rooted in Christ. They don't know Christ is supreme. They don't know Christ is better. So that's why we have to know Jesus Christ. We have to know the supremacy of our Lord Jesus. Only when we truly understand He surpasses all, then we have no problem of dealing with the world. We know that, yes, they may be talking some kind of teachings, but our Lord is different. Our Lord Jesus Christ is supreme. But of course, you have to prove that to them why you say your Lord Jesus Christ is the best, is supreme, even more than other religion. Now, let's take an example of human thinking. Charles Darwin, I'm quite sure all of you have heard about him in your biology class. What did he introduce? What thinking? Evolution. Who doesn't study evolution? Raise your hand in your high school. Who doesn't? Only one in Canada. What, USA? In all USA, we all study evolution, right? You were all brought up. You're from apes. Your ancestor is apes. Tell apes your uncle. This is evolution. They're so deeply rooted in the Western society. But evolution and Darwin, what's the relationship? Yes, evolution is the thinking. And of course, Darwin is the one who introduced it. But Darwin, he himself, does not equal, you cannot put a totally equal sign to evolution. Because Darwin is a person. There's many things in his life too. But evolution is only his thinking. At the same token, Einstein developed relativity, right? Who studied physics here? Who majored in physics? What's relativity? What's the formula? The most famous formula. E = mc². You have to remember this to pass, okay? Your physics test, not my test. Right. Even though you don't know what it is. But relativity is a theory. You can say maybe a scientific truth, but it's only part of the thinking of Einstein. But it's not Einstein himself. So when you talk about thinking, whether it's a philosophical thinking or even a scientific hypothesis, the person doesn't totally 100% equal to his thinking. Because it's human and his product. But there's one thing different in Christ Jesus. When you talk about Christianity, you can put an equal sign to Lord Jesus. Why? Because Lord Jesus Christ is God coming into the world, and He Himself is Christianity. He Himself is all fullness of God, all fullness of the teaching, and all fullness of the life. In Christ, there's everything. So, if you want to understand Christianity, you have to understand Jesus. If you want to study Christianity, you have to study the life of Jesus. only through knowing Jesus that you truly know Christianity. And they both are equal and they are one. So this concept is very important. Only this separates Christianity and other religion. Because Jesus himself is total Christianity, is true, is fullness. Another way to think about this is people may ask, why you say your Christianity, your Jesus, surpass all other religion? Let's step back and talk about the founder of whoever formulating the religion of the thinking. Now, for all other religion or philosophical thinking, they are human product. Those founders, they were all humans. Remember this, Taoism, Confucius belief, Buddhism, Hinduism, all other religion or philosophical thinking, the founder are all human beings. And remember what we said in just the beginning is, why we need God? Why we need religion? Because we are limited. And if we are limited, and why do we go to believe a religion who is found by human? Because human is limited anyway. Because he is limited, his religion is also limited. It's not that we cannot say, oh, their religion, their faith, or their moral teaching is totally nothing. It's not like that. For example, Taoism, many good teaching. Buddhism, talk about honoring your parents and doing good stuff. But those are not enough. Those are incomplete because their founder are human beings. But among all the religion, only Christ, only Christianity, only Lord Jesus, he is different than all the other founder. On one side, Jesus was fully human because he was the flesh walking 2,000 years on the society, teaching people, living with people, performing miracles to help the poor. But at the same time, he is God. Only in Christianity talks about this. Jesus, fully human and fully God. And because he is fully God, he is unlimited. And because he's unlimited, he's worthy of your trusting and relying on him. So this part, we have to grab hold of it, very important. So that's why in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Paul starts to go into the depth of explaining how Christ is so supreme. Let's turn to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Here is that. Underline this word. It's very important. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now in this verse, there are two verbs. There are two verbs. Please circle it. When you read the Bible, always looking for keywords plus the verbs. Verbs mean action. No, I think the brothers like action movie, right? Who like action movie? Yeah, action is very important. Only purely talk, no action, no use. So when you read the Bible, you're always looking for the verb and see how God is in action. How Lord Jesus Christ, he is in action. From verse 13 on, he started to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ. First, he delivered us from the power of darkness. The first word is deliver. Who has been to lifeguard training? Who is a qualified lifeguard here? Any brother and sister? Who else? Have you saved someone from the water before? Not yet, right? Okay. Anyone? You saved someone from the pool? Not yet. Okay. One day, maybe you. Deliver. This means he's sinking. He's dying. But because you are on a higher position, you are in a higher area, so that you can rescue the person. If you are sinking with him in the water, how can you save him? If you don't know how to swim, how can you deliver him? There's no way. So our Lord Jesus Christ, He has the power to deliver us from darkness. Now, underline this. Think about this. What does it mean, darkness? Sister, who of you is still afraid of dark? Anyone? You don't close your, don't off your light totally when you sleep. Oh, okay. It's normal, but I think as a child, even my children, two of them are 9 years old, one is 5 years old, they are so afraid of the dark. And one of my punishment, if I tell them, if you don't listen to me, I'll off the light when you sleep. They say, oh, no, okay. I'll listen to you. So what does it mean? People are afraid of the dark. This is the instinct, right? This is inborn. Because people know darkness is not good. Darkness is frightening. But why people relate darkness? What does darkness refer to? First, darkness represents death. Nobody would like to go into the cemetery during the night, right? Even you go for a walk, you will not go in the cemetery because people are afraid. Wow, in darkness, in the cemetery, it's too frightening. So all the horror movie, story setting is always a dark. You never see a horror movie under the daylight, noon hour like this, and then, whoa, the ghost appear or the death appear. It's not frightening, right? Have to be darkness. So darkness represents death. When people die, the Bible said, you enter darkness. You're no more seeing the light. You are directly cut off from the sources of life, from God. So, we human beings, can you imagine? The day we were born into this world, we are just approaching. We're just like, imagine yourself, you are on, just like in the airport, there's no long elevator, automatic elevator, that you stand on there with a luggage, it will carry you forward. I love going there because when I walk there, I walk faster. But even if you don't walk, the elevator push you there. Imagine when we are born into this world, the first minute you're born, you are in an elevator towards death. We're just counting down. We don't know how much more minutes or days left for us, but we are coming to death. There's no one can reverse the cycle. Even though whatever cosmetic you try to put, cosmetic surgery, it can only hide your wrinkles, but it cannot really turn back the clock. If you're 30s, you're 30s. You're 40s, you're 40s. Now I'm approaching my 40s. Oh, sorry, I just tell the secret. But I don't feel like when I'm 20 right now. Oh, now when you get 40, it's different than when you're 18. Now if I myself come to the schedule like you guys, whole day, 2 weeks, if I attend NYTS, I think I'm very tired. So sometimes I admire a preacher child's wife. Wow, still very strong. I can sit with you for 2 weeks here. When you're 40s, it's different than when you're 20. When you're 60, it's different than you're 40. When you're 80, you cannot compare to your 60. The body is declining. Sooner or later, we are going that direction. Even though you are a king, you are emperor, or you are a beggar, you cannot escape death. Even you are Bill Gates, or you are the poorest person in Africa, you cannot escape this destiny. This is called the shadow of death. Nobody can deliver you. Why? No other religion can also deliver us from death. Because, very simple, all the other religion founders are dead today. Who is the founder of Buddhism today? Now, where does he live? Can you give me an address? I can call him up. Taoism? Where is Confucius? Yeah, you can tell me where's his tomb in China. But you cannot talk to him anymore. You cannot say, oh, I call you up and then you help me solve my problem today. All the other religion founders are dead today. Except one. Who is he? Who is he? Come on, say louder if you know the truth. Who is he?
Jesus.
Louder, who is he?
Jesus.
Yes. Oh, Jesus is alive. You can still call him, right? You don't need cell phone. You kneel down here, you call him. Right? You can still receive his email, his message, not through the computer, but open the Bible. You have problem, you call to him, problem solved. Rely on him, he gives you strength. He's still alive. And not only in terms of mentally thinking or imagination, but through the Holy Spirit. You pray through the Holy Spirit, it still transforms us today. So that's why Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver us from the power of the darkness. No, you see, power of death is so strong. Nobody can escape it. But only Lord Jesus Christ. Why He Himself escaped it? He Himself overcome it. Because He has been resurrected. Now, maybe you tell your friend like this, right? You say, oh, in my NY class, TS class, we learn about this. But he can ask you, how do you know Jesus is resurrected? Have you seen Him when He resurrected 2,000 years ago? Have you seen Him? Oh, sister, have you seen Him? Anyone seen Jesus resurrect? Then how do you tell them Jesus truly has resurrected? Anyone who answer this question, I'll give him 5-point bonus. No one. 5 points in the test. Huh? How do you know Jesus has been resurrected? So sure. Yes, give him 5 points. Huh? Counselor, write down. So, 5 points. Very precious. It's true. Through Holy Spirit. Today when you kneel down to pray, people receive Holy Spirit. Today when we receive Holy Spirit, we know Jesus has overcome death. So this is very important. Only Him we overcome death. So that's why if we have Lord Jesus Christ, we are not afraid of death. You know, recently I saw the news about in China that high-speed train collided. Do you know about that? Two high-speed train collided. Actually, not collided, but one stopped. The other one just bumped into the front one. 37 people were killed. And look at the news. All the people are crying like crazy. Can you imagine if you lost your husband, lost your wife, lost your children? For all those people, they're just thinking, in the blink of an eye, a person active like this, successful, healthy, can just die like this. This is called the power of death. Nobody can reverse it. And when your relative die, you're hopeless. Because you don't see them anymore. That's why people cry so much. But in Christ, it's different. Right, we have the hope. We know that Jesus resurrected. Jesus has been resurrected. And also Jesus will resurrect us. I still remember my father passed away in the year of 2003. Quite a while ago. I still remember the day I saw him in the hospital. He's closing his eyes, passed away. And on the funeral day, he's lying there. My heart is heavy. But I believe, the Bible tells us, one day he shall resurrect because he is in Christ. Even the body is there, it's no more him. His soul go back to Jesus. Jesus has the power to resurrect him because Jesus, He Himself, is resurrected. So this is the so powerful hope that we have. So Jesus can overcome death. So this is one thing. But secondly, what does darkness represent? Darkness represents sin. The power of sin is great. You know, death and sin are all related. It's all the claw of devil. This is how devil control people. Devil control the whole world. Whole world is under sin. So the cause of sin is death. So if they pay the price, that's why whole world go to die. Now just like the Bible said, you can say a lot of good teachings, but you cannot control yourself. Let's turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 7. The book of Romans, chapter 7. Verse 19. Book of Romans chapter 7, verse 19 to 20. Okay, Sam, can you read for us loud, please? Yeah. Continue. Continue. Okay, continue. 23. Okay, here tell us we are all under this common destiny. The common destiny is we cannot control ourselves when we were alive. So that's why we cannot control where we go after we die. Paul was very blunt and very honest. He was saying that, actually, I know what is good, but I just can't do it. Now today, if you go to a casino, if you go do an interview, ask everybody, anyone think gambling is good for a family? Do you think gambling is good? People think you're crazy. Everybody know gambling is bad. If you ask all who smoke cigarettes, who agree that cigarette smoking is good or drug using is good for you? Nobody. But why people keep doing this? Very simple. They can't help it. They cannot control. That's why Paul said, I know something. I know the teaching. Even before Paul was in Christ, he knew the Old Testament. He knows the Judaism. He knows the teaching. The teaching is, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. But he cannot do it. Why? There's no strength. Because there's a law. There's a law controlling him. Do you know what's law? L-A-W law? Who studied physics? I think some of you, most of you in high school studied physics. In physics, there are law, many scientific law. This means, the governing the universe. For example, the law, the gravitational law is what? Things from high will drop toward the center of gravity. You can't change it, right? Water, pour from high to low. This is the law. You can't change it. No matter you come to America, go to Africa, Europe, everywhere applies. Water flow from high to low. Just like this. Human being, our heart is inclined to do bad things. Even though we know this is good, but we can't do it. But there's only one way you can change it. Let's see what Paul said. There's only one way. Verse 24. Sam, continue please. Yeah, continue. Okay, Paul admits, only when he started to know Jesus Christ, he started to know what is true freedom. How can you define freedom? Who will try to define freedom here? What is freedom? What is the common definition of freedom by worldly people? Any freedom? Any definition of freedom? Yes, you can do whatever you wanted to do. But that's not true definition of freedom. The true definition of freedom is you cannot do that the things that you don't want to do. That's different. Freedom is not you do whatever you want, but you can stop doing anything you don't want. You know it's bad for you. For example, you know that, gambling is bad. You cannot help yourself. You keep doing it. It's not freedom. You get a control. Cigarette is the same thing. You know it's bad for you, but you keep smoking. You're not freedom. Even if you have no money, you borrow money to buy cigarette and drugs. But what's true freedom? You know it's bad, and will stop doing it. And you have the power to stop. You have the power to go back to the truth. You know, recently, do you pay attention to the news? Two weeks ago, there's one very famous singer who died. Who? Amy Winehouse. Anyone know her? I don't know her until she dies. Yeah. Until she dies, become more famous. But it's very pitiful. She joined a club so-called Forever 27. Do you know Forever 27 means? There's a group of singers or artists, they get famous very early, success, but they are addiction to drugs or alcohol, and they die before the age of 27. So that club is called Forever 27. That means they never get old, because they have no chance to get old. They die before they were 27. And that singer, sometimes I think, I look at her, I say, wow, before you are 27, you have name, you have fame, you have money, right? You have success. But why you still go on drugs and alcohol and kill yourself? Of course, I don't think she commits suicide. She just drink and take drugs too much, and suddenly she died. But why they do it? Because the heart is so empty. No meaning of life. They don't see the light. Even in her songs, it's all singing is, she's dying, she's addiction, she's, I don't know, I just read these people, I never heard about her song. But her song may be very, very dark, very hopeless too. So what does it tell us? Really, in this world, devil controls everyone. The power of darkness, death, and sin controlling us. Controlling your friends in the school, and could be trying to control you and me if we are not careful. But in Christ, we find a remedy. We need not Him to control us. So how can Jesus overcome this? Let's turn back to Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. Here tells us, only Lord Jesus, because in the Son our sin were redeemed and our sins are forgiven. So who can rescue us from sin? Only the one who is sinless. All the other religion founder, because they are all human beings, they are not sinners. Even Confucius, very famous philosopher from China, admit that in one of his saying, in his books, in his dialects. He said, "Hey, I always know what is good, but I fail to do it. This is my worries." Even he himself admit, "I'm not perfect. I'm not blameless." So of course, he's not, because he's just a human being like you and me. And he died already. But today in Christ, you know, in Christ, in the Bible, they tell us Jesus, when he was on earth, he was surrounded by so many Pharisees, his opponent. They always try to find something flaw, whatever he say, whatever the action. They can't find any. Even though the judge, the Pilate, try to judge him, try to interrogate him, put him in the trial, so that they can put him to death. But they cannot find anything substantiate the claim that this man is a sinner that the Jews want to kill. So only Jesus Christ, he's blameless. He's, because of course, he's not exactly like us. We are fully human, but we are not God. But Jesus, he is the divine nature. Of course, Jesus has his human nature. Let's turn to verse 22. Verse 22. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Underline this part. In the body of his flesh. Jesus was in the body of his flesh. Through death to present you holy and blameless and above approach in his sight. In the body of his flesh. So Jesus, actually, he was God. But when he came to the world, he was in flesh. So when he was in flesh, he is fully human. He'll be hungry, just like you. You fast one meal, you're hungry, right? Jesus fasts 40 days a night, extremely hungry. And when devil tempt him. So he is fully flesh like you and us. That's why he understands our weaknesses. So sometimes our Lord Jesus Christ, when we think about the God we have, he's not hiding in high heaven and don't know what is being tough being on earth here. Sometimes you think you are in a college, you are a very tough situation, a lot of temptation around you. Jesus knows about that. Because he was directly tempted by devil when he was weakest. Jesus knows what is being tempted like. Jesus knows what is being loneliness. Can you imagine? Sometimes in our age, we feel lonely. We want to be welcomed and accepted by our friends. Sometimes we feel lonely. But Jesus knows what is loneliness mean, because his disciple once deserted him. So Jesus knows all our suffering, all our problems. So that's why we can come into him. He has full human nature. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Let's talk about the same thing. Hebrews 2, 14. Why did Jesus have to have a full human nature? Because it's a secret weapon. He must in the flesh and die and redeem us. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. So this word is directly related. You can do your own concordance. When you talk about Colossians chapter 1, that verse, I can point into Hebrews 2:14. 14. In such then, as the children, we have taken the flesh and blood. He himself likewise share in the same. So he share the same form. Same flesh and blood as you and me. Through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. So that's why he has destroyed the death. So this verse is very important. I'll skip that now. Okay. Now let's turn back to Colossians here, chapter 1. From verse 15, talks about his supremacy. Why he is so supreme. Now, Paul cannot go more clearer than that. In verse 15, he said, okay, underline this. Why Christ is supreme? Because he is the image of the invisible God. God is invisible. God is spirit. You can't see him with your naked eyes. His quality is spiritual. But he came down to the world in flesh. So that's why you see Jesus, you see God. He's the exact image, exact divine quality, all in abundance of Jesus. That's why you know Jesus, you know God. You look at him, his character is God's character. Look at his love, you know how God is love. This is very important. Because God is invisible. No one can even see him with naked eyes. But when Jesus comes, he showed it all to them. Now, one verse is very interesting. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 18. John 1, 18. Now, 1:18, this verse, let's read it all together. 1, 2, 3. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now, this is the translation, right? NKJV. First, this verse tells you no one has ever seen God before. Because God is spirit, you can't see him. But only through the begotten Son, only through the Son, then you see him. You know him, has been declared. But the original text is not translated begotten Son. There's a footnote here. Actually, if you look at some original text, even closer, even more accurate is that word. Only read what? Begotten God. Wow, this is very amazing. Actually, in some translation, even closer to the original meaning, actually, Jesus is the only God. It's not only the Son, but actually, it's God himself. So, Colossians chapter 1 tells us that he is the exact image of the invisible God. That's why Christ is so supreme, because Jesus is God himself. Only this part surprises all. And then here, chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that he is the firstborn over all creation. Let's turn back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Here tells us that he is the firstborn over all creation. And then from verse 16, underline this. Verse 16, I underline this three part for you. For by him, first by him, all things were created by him. Who is that him? It's Jesus Christ. Yes, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you study, is God created the heaven and earth. But in Paul, when in Paul's hand, he received the revelation, he can boldly, directly say, is by the Son, S-O-N, Son, by the Son, Jesus Christ, the world is created. Why? Why? Because Jesus Christ is God himself in the same spirit. So by him. And then through him, and then for him. This is the three words describing Jesus and the creation. Now, you know, politicians, they are very smart. Sometimes they borrow the saying in the Bible, but they don't say it's quoted from the Bible. They say, oh, we are elected, we are by the people. And then we are through the people, we are for the people, democracy. Actually, they borrow this saying from the Bible. Here tell us, the relationship between the Son, Jesus Christ, and us, all the creation is what? We are all created by Him. Through Him and for Him. This means we have totally our sovereignty, our destiny. Everything is on God's hand. All the things are created by God. So we are dependent totally on Him. So that's why if we understand this, if we read on from chapter 1, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, everything, no matter what you talk about, that everything, all things, underline all things, spiritual realm, physical realm, it's all created by Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we are all belongs to Him. There are many ways to categorize things in this world, right? But there's only one way is enough. You separate all the things, draw a line. One side is the creatures. Flowers, mountains, birds, fish, stars, planets, even angels, spiritual realm, all of them are created, even though they look different, different scale. But we are all the same category. But the other side is the Creator. He is the one who makes them all. So that's why Jesus is supreme. You don't even have to compare Jesus and His word and His Christianity to all the other religions. You cannot even compare because we are so low. We are all human beings. We are all creatures. And that's why He is at verse 17. Sam, can you read verse 17? Okay. 17. Yeah, to the 1 verse 17, huh? In Him all things consist. Okay, what does it mean? I just spend 1 minute in here and then we close. In Jesus, all things hold together. Consist means Jesus upholds this all together. Let's turn to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3. Now, this is how you do a concordance by yourself. Jesus hold all things together. Chapter 1, verse 3. Sam again. Okay, here, brother and sister, pay attention to this verse. It's very effective and very powerful. Jesus, by the power of His word, is upholding all things. Today, you look at this world. Running very naturally, winter, spring, summer, and the planet rotating. Everything seems normal. But who is holding it? Look at this. I'm holding this subject. It's static, right? It's not moving. It seems that nothing's going on. But I'm keep giving the forces to it. But if one day I think I'm tired, I have enough, it drops. And can you imagine? Our world is just like that. Today we exist, we survive, planet rotating, animal and us multiplying, all because of God is holding us. And one day God says, okay, it's enough, the world has to close. Everything drops. So that's why we have to totally rely on God. We know that our existence is totally dependent on Him. If you understand this, you understand, wow, we really have to connect it. Know this true God who holds our destiny, who is guiding us. And when this world will collapse one day, we can go to the spiritual realm. Let's all pray in silence to conclude. Okay.